Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, before we start, let's just do a little review of yesterday. The world that we live in has many characteristics, and one of them is the means by which it influences us. There is two different aspects to this. One is that aspect of the material world that brings us down, pulls conditioned souls down into the realm, and the other is what actually keeps us here. This world is not where we belong, but due to our misfortune, we got dragged down here. Okay, and the way in which these influences work is divided into three main categories, although these categories also mix unlimitedly. And they are goodness, passion, and ignorance. And this goodness, passion, and ignorance pervades all existence. The characteristic of goodness is knowledge. Passion is result-oriented work, and ignorance means madness. And here the word madness may be something different than what a clinical psychiatrist refers to. Here madness actually means inactivity and no knowledge.
Burada delilik dediğimiz şey faaliyet halinde olmamak ve bilgisizlik. Seviyelerdeyiz. İsimlendirmek gerekirse ihtiras ve cehalet halindeyiz. Erdem ve ihtiras halindeyken mükemmelleştirmeyi bir kenara bırakıp spiritüel hayatı anlamak dahi mümkün değil. Bu seviyelerden kişi özgürleşmeye kavuşamaz. Kişi erdem haline yükselmelidir. Erdem halindeyken kişinin düzgün bir bilgisi vardır. Düzgün bilgiye sahipken kişi doğanın üç halini aşacak tanıma gelebilir.
So although the modes of nature are also within us, in other words, we have been conditioned by the modes of nature. If you want to know what they look like, you just look in the mirror, and that's what your mode looks like, or your combination of modes. Nonetheless, because we're human beings, by the strength of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, we can actually perform the activities of goodness. The activities of goodness, therefore, draw the mode of goodness around us. And in this way, we can actually protect ourselves from our lower nature and the influence of passion and ignorance in the world around us. But unless we actually take very seriously those activities that are characteristic of goodness, one will just go down. So a passionate and ignorant life leads to fall down, and a life of goodness leads to elevation. And the choice is completely ours. Now let's start with verse 10. And here Krishna is explaining that these modes of nature are not in a static condition. They are competing amongst each other for dominance. And that goes on in a day-to-day, year-to-year, or creation-to-creation periods. We'll come back to that. So remember, modes of material nature are all pervasive. So they're outside, they're inside, they pervade everything that's animate and inanimate. They are the essence or substance of that which exists within this world. And of course, we as spirit souls, we are in one sense completely different than matter. And therefore, the spirit soul itself can't be influenced by the modes of nature. But because we embrace a material identity, it's that material that becomes influenced by the modes of nature. And because we identify with it, therefore, we are identifying with the modes. So the modes of nature don't influence us by our identifying with them. We take on their characteristics. There's a Upanishadic story that explains how the living entity is bound to this world. So once one king was visited by Ashtavakra Muni, who's a great sage, and the king asked the Muni if the soul is actually transcendental to matter, then how is it that something which is inferior can influence something that's superior? Parikshit Maharaj asked the same question in the second canto to Shukadeva Goswami. So the sage, give an example, he went over to the tree, nearby tree. He embraced the tree and he started crying out, "Let me go, let me go." In other words, we are embracing the material world and then we're complaining about suffering and we want the world to let us go. But in the same way that the tree is not capable of holding us, similarly this material world is not capable of holding us. We're embracing the material world. Raga, dvesha, vimuktishtu. Living entity is attached. By our attachment, we are holding on. But until we decide that we're going to let go, it's a very perplexing situation. Because if we think that something else is responsible for my being in a situation rather than myself, then you're bound. That is called illusion. Maya means illusion. So here Krishna says, sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the modes of passion and ignorance, O sign of Bharata. Sometimes the mode of passion defeats goodness and ignorance, and at other times ignorance defeats goodness and passion. In this way, there is always competition for supremacy. The example yesterday, for instance, that I gave was like puppets on a string, and they move.
Burada galibiyet kelimesi kullanılmış. Çünkü bazen diğeri birine galip geliyor. Mesela günlük olarak bakacak olursak İstanbul'a örnek alın. Sabah şafak vaktinde büyük bir şehirde bile biraz bir huzur hissedebilirsiniz. Ama gün başladığı zaman ve hareketlenmeye başladığında şehir, herkes bir sonuç için bazı faaliyetlerde bulunuyor ve meşgul oluyor. Ama itiraf hali daha baktım. Gündüz bitip de gece olduğunda insanlar yemek yiyor, uyuyor ya da toksik maddeler kullanıyorlar. Karanlık koşullar altında da insanlar daha çok cehaletin etkisi altında, cehalet baskın geliyor. Olarak devam edermiş. Benzer şekilde tüm bu evren yaratıldığında yaratılış ihtiras halinin ürünüdür. Yaratıcımız Brahma'dır, dört başlı Brahma ve ihtiras halinin kişilik bulmuş halidir. Ve evrenin devamı sağlanırken Rab Vishnu Erdem haliyle birlikte bu devamlılığı sağlıyor.
So on a daily basis, on a momentary basis, on a universal scale, these modes of material nature are constantly active. He says, but if one wants, he can develop by practice the mode of goodness and thus defeat the modes of ignorance and passion. So this is sort of the mantra of our seminar. The whole purpose of the Bhakti Fest is just to show how that's done. Yep. Rising early in the morning, taking bath, chanting Hare Krishna, Mangal Arati, chanting Hare Krishna, here reading Bhagavatam, eating foods that are offered to the Lord, cooked in the mode of goodness. So this type of life, even though we may be living, for instance, in Istanbul, or at least this type of mourning, helps a person become insulated from inevitable passionate activities that he may have to perform in order to maintain himself. Because this question often comes up, okay, it's very nice that you're living in Krishna Valley and that you're insulated from the rest of the world, but we're living in the city and we have to work. We're not just taking care of cows or doing gardening. But still, you start with this type of spiritual program, and one may, yes, work in order to maintain one's body in a city, but the values, the activities, the psychology by which we live are those of goodness rather than adopting those which are of passion and ignorance. So Krishna says, the manifestations of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. So this is an interesting phrase, the gates of the body illuminated by knowledge. It means is that the gates of the body means the senses. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, and so on. Illuminated by knowledge means that I know what are the things that I should see and what are the things that I shouldn't see. And since I know that if I see television, I will simply be in ignorance at best. So I don't see that. Why? Because I know the consequence of this type of seeing. I know that if I listen to, I don't know, rock music, rap music, some music, then that the effect of that will also be ignorance and passion.
Ve biliyorum ki rock ya da rap başka bir müziği dinlediğim zaman bu da ihtiras halinde olup beni etkileyecek. Biliyorum ki spiritüel olarak yükseltecek bir müzik dinlersem bu benim için faydalı olacak. Bir şey, kişi ne yemeli? Bilincimi arındıracak yiyeceklerin bana faydalı olduğunu bildiğimden dolayı onları yemeyi tercih ediyorum.
You are what you eat. So it's inevitable that if you eat things that are passionate and born of ignorance, then you'll also be in the same mode. Of course, for that, here, this word knowledge is there. One has to have that knowledge. And that's why one needs to be educated in spiritual values. Unfortunately, we're not educated in what's right and what's wrong. Maybe we get to know certain laws by which men are governed, but even those you don't get educated in, right? Even though stealing is illegal, I don't think there's any government program to educate people, children, that they shouldn't steal. It's only after you made the mistake that they tell you, oh, by the way, you're going to jail. But what to speak of, what are the laws of nature? And what are the consequences of activities? So the act of stealing is punishable by man, but the modes of nature will also punish you for stealing in addition to that. That means if I stole from someone, in the future someone will steal from me. This whole idea of education, of spiritual education, of understanding what the laws of nature, or better still, what the laws of God are, is very important. And that's the function of all religions, is to educate people in the laws of God, which in principle will be very similar. They may vary in detail, but principles will be the same. So therefore, secular societies are doomed, because it means that there's no real systematic education of what the laws of the world are actually about. And there's not even any education of what the laws of man are about. So that's called ignorance, that's madness. You expect someone to know something that you never taught them. Okay, so this is goodness. Goodness means you always do the good thing, the right thing. Or, even if you don't always do the right thing, you always try to do the right thing. Because by trying to do the right thing, ultimately, we will be able to end up doing the right thing. Now, O chief of the Bharatas, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, fruitive activity, intense endeavor, and uncontrollable desire and hankering develop.
Bu itirafın nasıl etkiledi?
Attachment, fruitive activity, intense endeavor, uncontrollable desire and hankering. So, passion means that we become attached. We become attached to objects, to persons, to concepts. And generally here, passion means things that relate to the senses. The pinnacle of this attachment is what takes place between a man and a woman. And that attachment becomes really the fuel that fires all other types of attachment. Therefore, generally we see that in all, if not most, if not all religions, celibacy is considered to be a most desirable quality. Why? Because it takes one out of this fire of constantly increasing attachment. So what happens when a boy and girl become attached to each other? Aside from all the dynamics of the physical and emotional exchange, what do? You decide you're going to live your life together. Once you decide you're going to live together, what do? You make plans.
Planlar.
We're going to have children, and we're going to have a house, and we're going to go on vacation twice a year. And we start making all these plans to which we become attached. And once all these attachments are in place, or they systematically increase with life, then fruitive activity. So you've set a goal, now you have to work to achieve your goal. Okay, we're young professionals, we just got out of university, we want a house. A house costs a fortune in Istanbul. We have to work. You have to work, and the wife has to work, but we want a really nice place, so we need to take more than one job, which means that we may end up working 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day. So that's called intense endeavor. That intense endeavor doesn't stop.
Ve bu zorlu gayretin bir sonu yok.
Because once you do have the family, then the husband has to work even more hard in order to maintain all of that. And it's like the example is there in scripture. It's like throwing ghee on a fire. The illusion is that I have this attachment, and when I work to fulfill this attachment, then I'll be satisfied. But one is never satisfied. Just like you can't put out a fire by throwing fuel on it. So it becomes uncontrollable desire. The desires just keep growing one after another. So it's not that when someone reaches 80 years old, all of a sudden their desires have been fulfilled. It's just that their instrument for desires have now been so dulled that all they can do is just think. They just remember, oh, I did this and I did that, and those were the good old days. And then maybe they can go fishing along Bosphorus or play chess in the park, but the desires haven't stopped. And Prabhupada would give this example which is there between Birbal and Akbar, where Akbar, who's the emperor of India, he wants to know when material desire, or especially this desire, this hankering between man and woman, when it actually comes to an end with old age. At what age does it stop? And of course, Birbal, he's his minister. So Birbal rightly answers, he says it never stops.
Hemen cevap veriyor.
And Akbar doesn't believe that.
Akbar buna inanmıyor.
So then just at the time when someone is dying, then Birbal takes Akbar with his daughter to see that dying man. Yeah. Even though the emperor comes to see this man, the first person he looks at is the girl. Is the daughter.
Yeah.
So Birbal, before he went in, he told the Akbar, he says, you just notice who the man is going to look at when we come in.
Right.
Now, when I was married, before I joined Krishna consciousness, I had a very attractive wife.
Çok çekici bir eşim vardı.
And my grandfather was dying in this sanatorium. And at that time, we were living nearby out in the country. So I'd already heard this story because I was already practicing Krishna consciousness. So we went in with my wife to see my grandfather, who was around, he was 89. All the men in our family died at 89. And so when we went in, here was me, I'd known him all my life, and my wife he'd seen maybe 10 times, 15 times, and it's like I didn't even exist. And he didn't hide it or anything. So we walked in and his face just lit up and he was looking at my wife. I was standing at the bed talking to him and he would reply to me and look at her. I was here and she was here. And I was talking and he was looking this way. So that's passion.
İşte bu itiraz.
And now ignorance. When there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, O son of Kuru, darkness, inertia, madness, and illusion are manifest. The common characteristic between passion and goodness is that there are both people follow rules. The persons in goodness have knowledge and follow some prescribed duties for elevation. And those in passion have knowledge and follow some other prescribed duties for the purpose of enjoyment. Ignorance has no knowledge, that follows no prescribed duties, and has no goal. So that's why it's called here madness. Illusion, madness, inertia. Okay, we're going a little slower. But now what happens, what is the destination, or what happens to people when they die in these modes? Because it's a relevant subject. Does everyone achieve the same destination? Often you hear this type of conclusion. That, well, ultimately, we all go to the same place. And of course, often that's spoken about in relationship to religion. But people just even use this type of conclusion just for life. It doesn't matter how you live, we all go to the same place. So no, we see that according to the type of mode of nature that a person lives in, he achieves a different destination at death. So, verse 14 says, when one dies in the mode of goodness, he attains to the pure, higher planets of the great sages. So there are many planets within this universe. We're sort of halfway in the universe. And there are living entities above and those below. Generally, those that are above are in the mode of goodness. So one who dies in the mode of goodness because his interest is spiritual elevation, he goes to a higher destination.
Ölüm anında erdem halinde olan kişi, çünkü maneviyatla, manevi yükselmeyle ilgilenen kişi, daha yüksek bir kaynağı.
And there he's he can practice the activities of goodness even more better than he's done here in the world. And hopefully he continues to be elevated until also he can transcend. Okay. When one dies in the mode of passion, he takes birth amongst those engaged in fruitive activities. And when one dies in the mode of ignorance, he takes birth in the animal kingdom. So one thing that automatically comes from this is another sort of misconception that pseudo-spiritualists teach. Often, sometimes it's heard that once the soul takes a human body, then you always maintain a human body. You never fall down. But that's not what Krishna says. That's not the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. So here he says, if you die in a mode of passion, then you take birth among those engaged in fruitive activities. You take birth amongst fruitive beings, which generally means you take birth again as humans on this planet. But if one dies in a mode of ignorance, then you become an animal. An animal kingdom really means you can become an animal, you can become a tree, you can become a bird. There are many, many, many stories in the Puranas that describe how humans take birth in subhuman species.
Puranalarda birçok örnek var. İnsanların nasıl insanlardan daha düşük türlerde hayat aldığını fikir nereden geldi bilmiyorum ama bir kere insan olduktan sonra hep insan olacağım fikri bayağı bir yaydı.
Okay, what are the results of activities? So, he says the results of pious action is pure and is said to be in the mode of goodness. But action done in the mode of passion results in misery, and action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. In other words, when one acts in the mode of goodness, then one actually achieves those results that one sets out to achieve. Why? Because we're not fighting against the system. You're in harmony with the way the world is. Now, you don't get in harmony with the way things are by, I don't know, just living in the forest. But you become in harmony when you know how the world works and you work according to the system that gives the right result.
Dünyanın nasıl işlediğini bilirseniz ve eğer doğru sonuçları veren sisteme göre hareket ederseniz uyumlu halde yaşıyorsunuz.
So as I mentioned yesterday, this one of our donors said, donating is the best business. Because that's the system. The system is when you give either to Krishna, preferably, or to some other cause, then you will get back more than you've given. But when a person's life is based on taking, which is, for instance, what passion is all about, then maybe temporarily you will have some benefit, but ultimately you will be the loser. Prabhupada gives one example. One of the wealthiest families in India are called the Birlas. And they've been the wealthiest for many, many generations. Many hundreds of years ago, one of the early Birla forefathers, he approached a devotee. He says, how can our family always remain rich? So he said, you build a temple. And as soon as you finish building the temple, you build another. As soon as that one's finished, you build another. And he said, as long as your family continues to construct temples and maintain them, you will always remain prosperous. So this is just an example of how when one acts in, although this is not selfless, this is also being selfish, but at least it's a quality selfishness, you get a right result. But actions in the mode of passion result in misery. So great attachment, fruitive activity, intense endeavor, uncontrolled desire and hankering, it all results ultimately in misery.
Şimdi tadını çıkarıyor olsam bile sonrasında acı çekiyorum. Şimdi çalarsınız ama sonra hapse girersiniz. Şimdi sınırsızca bir seks hayatının tadını sürebilirsiniz ama yaşlılıktayken
brainless. Or what our whole society is based on is just exploit the earth, but pretty soon the ice caps are melting, we can't breathe the air, we can't drink the water, the earth is poison. Sustainable development is a concept of the mode of passion, because you can't keep sustaining development. I don't know, it should be sustainable undevelopment or reassessing our needs and downscaling rather than developing.
Bu sürdürülebilir gelişme yerine sürdürülebilir gerileme olması gerekir. İhtiyaçlarımızı tekrar gözden geçirip ona göre bir düzenleme yapmak. Bu sürdürülebilir bence. Ve cehalet halinde yapılan
talking gave the example of monkeys. Monkeys are examples of animals in the mode of ignorance. Everything they do is foolishness. They're monkeys. You know, Turkey. Anyway, in India, there's lots of monkeys.
And
all monkeys have two legs. Okay. And what is what develops? What are the results of the modes of material? From goodness, when you cultivate goodness, knowledge comes. From passion, greed, and from the mode of ignorance, foolishness, madness, and illusion. Somewhat repetitive, but looking at it from a different perspective. When one engages in acts of goodness, then knowledge comes not just from the study of books, but knowledge comes from within.
Erdem halindeki faaliyetler sonuncuyunda da bilgi oluşuyor. Çünkü bilgi sadece kitaplardan gelmiyor, aynı zamanda içten de çıkıyor. Kullanmış demek, insanlar bir farkındalığı kendilerinden çıkarak varmıyor. Bir şey eğer itiraf halindeyse, daha önceden denmişti ki itiraf halinin sonucunda kişi acı çekecek. Bir zaman da açgözlülük de olacak.
It's what advertising is all about, isn't it? Advertising is all about making people greedy. Education is about making people greedy. Because when people become greedy, then they become passionate. Greed means I want more and more. Whatever the price, I'll pay it. Then that keeps this economic system going, economic development, and mode of ignorance, foolish, madness, and illusion, always the same. So Krishna again repeats, what is then the destination of people who live in this way? In goodness, they systematically rise up. In passion, they stay on the earthly planets. And those who continually stay in ignorance, they go down to the hellish worlds. This talks about actually human beings.
Ve sürekli cehalet halinde yaşayanlar da cehennemsi dünyalara giderler. Bizim insanlardan bahsediyor.
We're talking about how the living entities are actually conditioned by the modes of nature, what the symptoms of the modes of nature are. And we see that goodness shines out, literally speaking, over and above ignorance and passion. But the real issue is how to transcend the modes of nature. And that's something that can be done even while one is in this world. So transcending means that one is not being pulled by any ropes. And we read about that tomorrow. Any questions? Comments?